Hi, beautiful people, and welcome back to Jesus Healing and Everything in Between. I'm Desiree K, your host. I got no plans today. I got no plans. So we're just gonna vibe. You know what? I'm just gonna talk to you guys, and we're just gonna see where the Holy Spirit leads us. I have switched up the setup again. Surprise, surprise. I don't know if anybody actually watches them. I'd like to apologize for anyone who has been burdened by the length of my podcast episodes. I talk a lot, and I don't know how to not do that. So I'm trying, and the last episode I know was my longest episode. I was not expecting it to go that long. I was not. So I deeply apologize for that. But I hope that you guys are still able to break it up and listen to it in increments or whatever you have to do if you are interested in hearing that wacky story, because that was a wild episode. That was intense. Reliving and rehashing what happened last fall with that crazy cult guy. That was insane. So, I don't know. I don't really know what we're gonna do here. I'm just gonna start talking and we'll just see where we go. I started this podcast, as always, because I wanted a safe place for people to heal and grow. And I wanted a place where I could also be me. I'm not really allowed to do that with much of the people around me, but the Lord has been working on that and just surrounding me with the right people, thankfully. But this has been a challenge for me. I'm a Jesus freak. Love him, adore him, my best friend. That's my man. I love him. And I know some of you might be weirded out by that. We'll get into that, maybe. We'll see. But you know, I just don't care. I recently posted a video on my socials. I was in my prayer time with the Lord, and there's this song that is like my love song to the Lord. I will share it because I feel that it could really help other people who may want to feel more connected to Jesus. It's Still You by Benjamin William Hastings, and there are multiple versions, so whatever one your heart desires. But that song was my song in October, after what happened with the attack. And it was so crazy. That song literally came out either a couple days after, or it was very, very soon after. I remember I was taking my sister to work and I heard that song come on my new releases. It just resonated so deeply with me because after everything, even the attack, it's still you, God. And I fell in love with that particular song. Then the album came out not too long after, and I had that album on repeat. Like, sorry, there's a train. But yeah, I had it on repeat daily for months on end. No joke. It was the most calming album for my spirit. I listened to it every moment that I was in the car and rarely ever switched anything. I just kept playing it over and over again. Highly recommend it. Love Benjamin William Hastings. You're missing out if you don't listen to him. Go listen to him. Anyways, that came out. And then on my birthday, which was a cute little, hug from Jesus, Benjamin actually released a different version of many of the songs from that album on my birthday. It was a sweet little, gift from Jesus, and I don't know, it just meant a lot to me. So with all of that, I have been listening to that also on repeat. But that particular song, Still You, hits a whole different level now. And I can't necessarily go into absolute specific details, but I think I'm going to talk about what's been going on. So just bear with me and follow me as best as you can. I just have to respect the situation because there's only so much that I feel like the Lord wants to be revealed right now. But ultimately, I was listening to that song and my heart just fluttered. It's so silly. I know it's weird to many who don't understand, but I felt love, like the feeling of love. I've said I loved God practically all my life. Like, you know, it's a choice, it's an action, it's a decision. But during this season, I feel I've been kind of falling in love with Jesus. And that song hits a different nerve in me. And so what happened was I was listening to it, and then I went to my prayer time. And during my prayer time, I was reflecting on the lyrics of that particular song. And while I was doing that, that's when I started getting emotional and talking to the Lord about what's going on in my life and what I'm experiencing and how this is all affecting me. And I felt like he wanted me to turn on my camera, so I did. And I guess I sort of lamented for non-believers is what technically that was. I was not expecting anybody to watch it. I debated on posting it for a minute, and I felt like the Lord really wanted me to share my heart about it. And at the end of the day, whether people believe or not, it's true. Jesus is the way. And anybody that rejects him, that rejects that, is going to face judgment. And I know I can seemingly come across as a know-it-all, as I've been told, cocky, arrogant, however you may see it through a different lens. But I truly know who the real enemy is, and I'm not trying to be unloving to anybody. I believe that many unbelievers are victims to the deception that they're living in, and it truly breaks my heart. And I'm sorry if anybody has misinterpreted that. I do come on here and tell you guys the truth, and I tell you confidently what I know to be the truth, but I'm never out here judging anybody. If anything, I feel bad. I feel so broken for you. I want everyone to just be free. And I know that that's where I've had my faults. I know that's where people are, you know, making these false accusations against me, and coming up with conclusions that are not accurate based off of how I've presented it. And I'm trying. Guys, this is hard. It is so hard to be a Jesus freak in the midst of people who are not Jesus freaks. But it's okay. I've accepted it, and I was not called to be accepted. So, it is what it is. I really am okay with it. But I don't know where I was going with that. I know I was talking to you about the video. Oh, yeah, I was just sharing my heart about that. So it's never my intention to judge anybody. I love you all, truly. I love you so much. I love you so, so much that I am willing to, like, be, you know, mocked and ridiculed and judged for everything. I don't care. I truly don't, because my flesh hates it, but my spirit knows it's an honor. So it truly is okay. And my prayer, my hope is that other believers will take a stand as well and be willing to face that. Oh, there's so much we could talk about today. There's so much here. Where do I want to go? Lukewarm Christianity? Why not? I feel like there is a lot of lukewarm Christianity going on in our world. And I was one of them. Oh boy, I know what we could talk about right now. Okay, so I was reflecting and going through some old journals. I actually had a video journal on Snapchat. And I think I've told you guys about this, but I used it as like a therapeutic release kind of place. I put just select friends on there, just people I trusted. And anytime I was feeling like suicidal or like uncontrollably crying or just wanted to vent and just be like, hey, yo, this is what my life looks like and it's crap, you know, I would do that. And this was absolutely a saving thing in my life. I was in a really dark place. I was not mentally stable. And that's where I'm going with all this. Like so I was reading my prayer journals, my entries on my prayer journal. And this was back in like 2019, 2020. My surrender was in 2021, the summer of 2021. So even through a part of 2021, I was reading these entries and I was in sin. Was not in a good place. But guys, I did not realize how bad how badly I was being deceived. So, a few things here. I had a little wall, a little music wall behind me, and on my bed, and it was like a collage of a bunch of musical artists, and I mean, it had everything from Dove Cameron to Kanye to Childish Gambino. I think there was some Drake on there. Yeah, not my best days. A lot of dark stuff. And I listened to songs about sex and drugs and, yeah, not good stuff. I filtered my mind, I filled my mind with that, and I lived with that, but I went and put my foot into Jesus every day and said that I, you know, I'm a Christian, and I believe in him, and I love him, and I was even told that I was, like, salt and light to my friend group, because I was the only believer that was truly, like, openly dedicated, and it was really challenging. It was extremely challenging, but ultimately, I was in sin. I had feelings for a married dude. Also, there is so much we could talk about with that. I know I've talked about it before with the Signs podcast, I believe. But I've realized more and more since then, especially with this little trail I went down the other day. So in my journal entries regarding this dude, I literally asked Jesus, take away the feelings if this is not your plan, if this is not your will, if this is not the person for me, take away the feelings. And I will tell you, the feelings did not go away, no matter how much I prayed it. They just kept getting bigger and growing more, and they were worse and worse. And then there were times that I literally prayed, Lord, why are you letting these things happen? Why are we getting closer? Why are we having these conversations? Why is he doing this? Why is he doing that? Why are we able to do this? And looking back, I'm just like, Desi, you knew better. It was your responsibility to walk away from the sin. I don't recognize who she was. I'm so glad she's dead and gone. Glad I'm a new creation. But that time of my life, I was so deceived. I just believed all of these lies, and Satan was this master manipulator making me think that this person was my person. And there's a quote that I saw years ago, and it just stuck with me. And it said something like, God's not going to send you someone else's husband. And I remember, like, arguing that with God. Like, why would you send me somebody's, you know, and then I would be like, oh, it's toxic, though, or she's abusive. And that's a whole different issue because it wasn't really relevant. But I think that there are times that we want God to do all the work for us, but we're co-heirs with Christ. Like, we're supposed to work with him. We're co-workers with God. So we got to do our part too. And I will say that when I decided to walk away from that guy and, like, let that entire thing go, and I surrendered it to the Lord, that's when it was easy. That's where God met me in the middle, and, like, we did it together. But when I was doing it and I was just like, hey, God, just fix this, that was not his job. Like, I was in sin. I had free will. I chose to be there. So I think there's just a lot of truth to that, that there are people out here that just expect God to just do things and fix things. Like, no, honey, you gotta get out of sin yourself. You gotta walk away from that person yourself. I mean, we can pray the prayer, like, you know, remove them if this is not your will thing, because I love that whole prayer and that trend there. I don't want to say that's a trend, but I know it's like a popular thing on social media. I've prayed it myself, and I've seen it work. It works. It works. So, yeah, be ready, but it does work. But in that situation, it was, I'm not gonna remove something that, you know, I had free will to have feelings. Like, I was asking for God to remove the feelings and not him. I don't remember actually ever praying that he would remove him. But also, we were in a situation where we were kind of forced to be around each other. So, I mean, God could have done it, but either way, I selfishly wanted the guy, even though I knew it was wrong. And it was so funny because these prayers were so contradicting. I was literally that, you know, drifting, wavering thing in the air, you know, the chaff in the wind. Like, I was literally saying, hey, God, fix his marriage, like, fix everything and make everything work out for your will and your good. But also, I really want to be with this person. I love this person. I want to marry this person. This is my person, right? Like, no. I knew the entire time I was in the wrong. But I had everyone around me telling me that, you know, yeah, this is your person. Like, you guys are so perfect for each other. Yeah, whatever. And the devil used that. He used that really, really good. Yeah. He tried really hard. And he succeeded for a while. He did. But when I surrendered and I gave him up, I saw the true colors of the situation and the people involved. And I was like, oh, I was super deceived. Cool. So, yeah, I think that there is just a lot going on that we can be deceived by. And I think that it's so true that you have to be in Christ. You have to be in tune with his spirit and your spirit aligned with his. If you really want to have his will for you and his life for you and stay out of the path of destruction. Yeah, I don't know. I was just doing a lot wrong. But I was claiming to have the name of Jesus on my forehead. You know, I was like, I'm Christian, though. Like, I remember sitting on the floor with, like, my friend group, and we were having debates about creation and things like that. And, like, I was trying my best, but I genuinely had no idea what I was doing. And I lived by devotions. You know, I just did my devotion every day, and I had little tiny prayer journal entries. And what was incredible to me is I saw the difference between the entries amount over the years. Like in 2019 it was pretty small, and then 2020 it was like a little bit bigger, and then 2021 it was like really big, and then 2022 it was like over 365. So I prayed more than just once a day in my prayer journal thing, because I use my phone to like talk, text, pray thing. It's weird, but yeah. So I don't know, that time of my life was very foreign and interesting in a lot of bad ways. I was very lukewarm. And I would have been offended if someone would have told me I was lukewarm. Not gonna lie. Because in my eyes, I'm like, I love Jesus more than you guys. And then you know what that is? Yeah. Check the plank in your own eye, you know. Or what is it? The log in your eye. Before you pick out the little speck in someone else's. And that's what I was doing. That's what I would have done if someone would have said that. But yeah, lukewarm Christianity, we're told that the Lord will literally spit you out of his mouth. That means you're not going. Like, I believe in my heart and my spirit that lukewarm Christianity will not make it to the end. We're told that those who endure to the end will be saved. Lukewarm Christianity is not going to face persecution. If somebody comes up to you with a gun to your head and says, hey, do you believe in Jesus Christ? They're going to pull that trigger if you say yes. Are you going to say yes or no? That's how you know if you're lukewarm. Just ask yourself that. I've opened up about my fears about persecution and my ideas and my thoughts on it. I think it's real. It's happening in other parts of the world, different countries. And for us to think that it could never be relevant to us, guys, it's happening today. You don't have to die to be persecuted. I'm personally dealing with a minor level of just basic persecution of being ridiculed and mocked and labeled and falsely accused of things that are not accurate at all in the name of Jesus, because of Jesus. So, I mean, it's here, it's happening. I think that Christians already are mocked and made fun of, and I guess that's the same thing, but it's already happening today. So, I don't know, there's so much going on here. Satan is being glorified more and more and more as the days pass. But nobody's ready for that conversation. Nobody wants to talk about that. They're not mocking any other religions. They're just mocking Christianity. They're just mocking Jesus specifically. I mean, heck, even if you want to go with God, like, nobody's talking about God. They're talking about Jesus. Why are they mocking Jesus? Why is it Jesus specifically? Does anybody want to talk about that? No, probably not, because people don't want to face the truth. They hate Jesus. They hate him. Why do you think he was crucified? They hated him. They hated, and you know why they hated him? Aside from him being obviously the King of the Jews and the Christ, they hated that he told the truth. And that's why people are legitimately getting persecuted today, because they tell the truth. There are people that literally get in trouble for sharing the gospel publicly, threatening to be arrested even. I'm pretty sure if anybody was out there talking about Buddhism or even Mormonism, Greek mythology, they're not going to get arrested. They're just sharing their opinions, right? But when we speak the truth, that's when people get angry. And you guys know where I stand. I think that there's part of it that is the human aspect of it, and then the other part is the spiritual aspect of it. I think that Satan is having his way a lot with a lot of people right now. I recently saw someone I know defend a certain performance at Coachella. And when I saw that, I realized just how dark that person is living. But they believe in Jesus. Well, they didn't defend Jesus. I mean, this artist had a legit bloody cross across their chest and their abdomen. And the song, the phrase, the lyrics. These are not glorifying to the Lord. They're absolutely the opposite of glorifying, actually. They're glorifying the evil one by mocking the righteous one. And I'm tired of the excuses. I really am. As someone who lived there, guys, I listened to all the Rihanna, Beyonce, Kanye, Childish Gambino was my man. Love that dude. But do you know what you're listening to? Like, have you looked up the lyrics? That certain artist that I was talking about, have you looked up the lyrics to her new album? Do you know what you're speaking over your life when you're singing that, when you're listening to that? Like, I know we want to say that everything's fine and okay, but is it? Is it normal to glorify Satan this much if you're a believer? I don't know. I think it's pretty clear, and we are just in denial. One of my friends is obsessed with WWE, and I don't know much about it, so like I'm not saying I'm a pro or an expert at any of this. I'm just telling you what they told me. But basically, there's an artist that's involved that has no right to really be involved. And there was some new age stuff going on, and then they're talking about like selling souls and stuff, and it's just getting really dark, and their spirit was just really unsettled, and they're like, I can't watch this anymore. Like, it's my childhood, but I can't glorify the enemy. I can't partake in that because our love for Jesus is greater. And at the end of the day, being a believer, that means you're gonna have to sacrifice things. I've given up shows, so many shows. Like I know I was watching Riverdale with my sister up until a certain season where it was too dark. I couldn't do it. Gave up Stranger Things. That was a fast one. Good Trouble. Like these are very worldly shows that I kind of justified and I was like, "Oh, it's all right. It's okay for my spirit." And then eventually it got so evil, so dark that I could not. Couldn't do it. And I know I've talked about like open doors and the demonic realm and things like that, but for me it was more than just I don't want to open a door. It was I don't want anything tarnishing my relationship with Jesus. Like I love him so much. We've gotten to know each other so well. And I imagine it kind of like if you're with somebody and you're just hanging out with the wrong person and that and your spouse just your spouse or your person just doesn't really approve of that person and you do it anyway and that's going to create some tension between you and your person and like why would you do that if you know that this person's no good for you and you know it affects your relationship, why would you do it? I feel the same way about watching these shows or listening to this music and allowing this darkness to be glorified. Like that's going to upset my dad. That's gonna make things harder on us and our relationship, and you know, regardless of it allowing demons in and things like that, like, I don't want my dad and I to feel separated. I don't want anything to come between us. You know what I mean? And that's what I don't get. I don't get why people want to justify it. Like, it's just a show. It's just an artist. It's just a song. Heck, there are artists that I lived listening to, like, all my life. Like, I love Selena Gomez. Grew up on her. Adore her. But something doesn't sit right in my spirit. I can't listen to her music right now. And I haven't been able to for a while. I don't know. There's something that's happening in Hollywood that is, in my eyes, it's bigger and deeper than anything that we can comprehend, that we can see ourselves. And having spiritual eyes, I see it more and more. And I'm just like, you guys don't get it? You don't get it? Lucifer was in control of the music. Like, that was his gift. Like, you don't think he's doing stuff with our music? I don't know. At the end of the day, to me, what it comes down to is, what are you willing to give up for Jesus? Because at the end of the day, we're told to lose our life to save it. But if we try to save our life, we will lose it. And that is ultimately what I believe I did during that time of my life. And what I did when I justified listening to certain things or watching certain shows, being around certain people. If it's affecting my spirit, why do I want it? Oh my gosh, my friend that I was talking about earlier, they had like pretty much rededicated their lives to Christ last year, so they're still walking in that, you know, revitalizing, like refreshing time, and they said that it's like your appetite changes. Like when the Holy Spirit comes inside of you and you feel changed, you feel new, you feel like you're a new creation, like the scriptures say you will become, you don't desire the things that you desired before. And they feel like kind of gross and sick. I mean, I think about it as, you know, when we do like a sugar, like detox or something. And then, you know, your body adjusts to that. You get used to it. And it's like, I don't really want sugar anymore. And then if you have sugar, you might feel really like sick. It's because your body got cleansed out. It's detoxed. I feel like the Holy Spirit's kind of like the ultimate detox, you know? He comes in and he sweeps everything out and he cleans it up and purifies everything. And then you let something nasty in and it makes you feel icky. I feel like it's so simple. Like, we have all of it in front of us. Like, we know how it goes and how it should work. But we still try to justify things because our flesh wants it. We're told to crucify our flesh. Deny yourself. Pick up your cross daily. That means every day choosing to live for Jesus and Jesus alone, not this world, not what the world has to offer. And guys, I was doing that. I was living for the world while trying to claim I was living for Jesus. And I don't honestly know what my life would have looked like as far as my eternity if Jesus had come back by then. I like to believe I had faith. I do believe I had Jesus, but I was not dedicated to the Lord. I just wasn't. And what I love about that verse about losing your life, I had a new revelation about it in my reading the other day. A lot of people generally assume that that's talking about like persecution. You know, losing your life, meaning literally dying, then you will save it. You'll make it to heaven and be honored for that. But to me, it had a new meaning. It says that whoever tries to hold on to his life will lose it. And I understand that as someone who's trying to take control of their life, who's living their way, the way that they think is right, and disregarding what they know to be true. Not being fully surrendered. And I know you guys love it when I talk about surrender, I'm sure, because it's not a fun word to hear. Giving up control is one of the biggest reasons I think people don't want to follow Jesus. Because that means you have to surrender. But man, if you knew what it actually meant when you're surrendered, what that looks like, the beautiful life that comes with it. And you take in a heartbeat. But unfortunately, you got to have the faith to take that step. He's not going to show you what it's going to look like. You just got to trust that it's going to be good. Because the second part says, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it or save it. I gave up my life for him. I gave up my wants, my desires, my dreams. And I said, all right, God, I want what you want. I'm surrendered to what you want, every area of my life. And boy, did he flip things around. I mean, that man went to work. Like, he started zip-zapping things left and right. Like, things changed drastically and very quickly. But it has been the most beautiful transformation. Getting to see all the change and walking into that new life. And being the person I am now, confidently knowing who I am in Jesus, being so healed in ways that I never imagined. One of the things that's been spoken over me is that you're not healed because Jesus is your only reason for living. No, Jesus is my healing. Like, the reason I'm not suicidal anymore is because he healed me. I believe being suicidal is a temptation from hell. I mean, death itself. We weren't created to want to kill ourselves. That's not in our nature. I believe it's Satan himself. Anybody who's oppressed by suicidality is dealing with the enemy himself. He loves death. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Also, he's known as a murderer from the beginning. So, I don't think that it means I'm not healed because I don't deal with suicidality anymore, because I know Jesus, because I trust him, because I believe him, because I love him. And Jesus is my number one reason for living, yeah, because when people around me fail, who's left? If I don't allow Jesus to be my number one reason, then other things are going to fail me, and then where do I go then? I feel like I'm absolutely the most healed I've ever been. And I think that people get mad because they see my life and they see what God's done and they want what I have, but they don't want to do what it takes to get there. I spent years in therapy. I've spent years seeking the Lord. And I've spent a lot of time in this book. And when it says that it's the renewing of your mind, that's where the healing comes from. I believe that I'm the most healed that I am because of the Word of God. Because I've taken him in his word. I've believed what he said. And now I walk in his truth. I walk in the promises of God. And it's liberating. Do you know how free it is to be free? I don't say any of this to tell you that I'm better than you, that I've got it all figured out, that I am God myself, as people have said. I'm telling you because I want you to have what I have. I want you to be free too. I want you to walk on the promises of God. I want you to know who you are in Christ. I want you to know your worth. I want you to be healed. That's all it is. But the darkness in these people's lives don't want to hear that. They don't like it. They don't like me. Because I got the Holy Spirit living in me. The power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me. And if you're a believer, then that's true for you too. You have power and authority that you don't even realize, because the living God lives in you. And that's where your freedom comes from. That's where the healing starts. When you choose to believe that you have the Spirit of God living in you and what that means for you. Your enemies don't have a chance. Satan doesn't have a chance. Like, you belong to God. You are a son or daughter of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. That's your identity. That's who you identify as. And life changes drastically, significantly, when you choose to believe who God created you to be. And that's all that's happened in my life. That's it, guys. I'm not God. I'm not 100% all there. I didn't figure everything out. I just figured out the missing pieces I needed in my life. And that was surrender. That was fully giving my life to Jesus and saying, my life is yours. It's not mine. Take it. What do you want? What do you want from me? What do you mean to do? I'll do it. When people get saved, we typically hear the phrase, I gave my life to the Lord. When I got saved, did I give my life to the Lord? Partially, I did. Absolutely. I remember I went up there. I felt conviction about the whole wanting to be gay thing. We've already talked about that. Or, sorry, bisexual. And I gave my life to the Lord, and I do believe that the Holy Spirit came into me and I was changed. But again, my biggest battle is I didn't have much around me showing me how to live. So that's why I was, you know, struggling. I was a struggling believer. But no, when I gave my life to the Lord, I did not understand the stronghold that I had about the boys. Like, again, everybody always said I was boy crazy, you know, I was love obsessed, whatever. I had some serious wounds because of my upbringing with my family. And there was just a lot of drama in my love life. Everybody's heard the stories. You know how it is. It is what it is. It's fine. It's my old name. It's my slave name. We talked about that last time. But no, when I surrendered in 2021, I gave up that one area that I was still clinging to. And that's when all the change happened. I had people around me up until 2021 that were like, oh yeah, she's tolerable. She's a tolerable Christian. She's not like the others. She's not judgmental like the others. But the second that I fully gave everything to the Lord, I really surrendered my entire life, my entire heart to Him completely. Now people are looking at me and they're going, oh no, you're one of them. You're judgmental now. You see my life and you see the sin and you think that this isn't acceptable anymore. You stop listening to this music, you stop watching these movies. Everything around you is apparently demonic now, and, you know. And I'm like, okay, my life belongs in the Lord's hands now, and I'm gonna live for Him. And yes, I was deceived about homosexuality. Prior to 2021, I did consider myself an ally. I said that, you know, maybe it's not a sin. Maybe people will make it who are homosexuals. Now, again, I'm not going to sit here and tell you exactly how it is. I just know what I believe God has shown me in my spirit. That if you're living in unrepentance, period, whether it's homosexuality, sex in general outside of marriage, drugs, alcoholism, like, we could go anywhere. It's not just being gay. If you are living an unrepentant lifestyle, then you're not living for Jesus Christ. And unrepentance is habitual sin, which we're not able to do if we're in Christ. To my knowledge, that's what my understanding is. Because you cannot live in that consistent sin and not feel remorse for your sin, because that separates you from God. And if you truly love Him, and if you truly have Him in you, you're going to want to do anything you can to keep that union close. So, at the end of the day, doesn't matter if you're a homosexual or an alcoholic or whatever, if you are living in unrepentance, then it's very possible you don't truly know the Lord. Will you make it to the end? Will you endure to the end? Will you die for Jesus? Or is your sin good enough for you? You know what I mean? Like, it's not... Everybody wants to attack the community specifically and say, well, Christians hate them. And I'm like, there are other people in sin that is equal to homosexuality. It's not just being gay that's wrong. I mean, we could even just simply say that sex outside of marriage is just as bad. And there are plenty of Christians out there that are like, well, everybody's doing it. Okay, but you're not everybody. You're supposed to be set apart. You're not supposed to look like the world. We're called to be different from the world. Jesus wasn't like the world. Far from it. You know what I mean? So at the end of the day, I think that it's unrepentance. It's that simple. Are you living for Jesus Christ with every fiber of your being? Are you doing what you can to stay clean and pure in Him so that you can be near Him? Because the only reason Jesus hates sin that much is because it separates you from Him, because He's a holy God and He cannot be in sin. He cannot be around it. He cannot be close to it. It's poison to Him. Which is why hell was created, for Satan and the demons, so that they would be completely separated from Him and He would be away from evil. It's that simple. So, lukewarm Christianity? Don't think it's going to go very well for you. Just being honest, in love, because I worry about you, because I'm scared for you, because I love you. You will be spewed out of His mouth. Some translations even refer to it as vomited out of His mouth, which is awful. Ugh. I don't know about you, but when I realized the context of that, I was like, God, I'm sorry. I never, ever, ever, ever meant to disgust you that much. When you are truly in Christ, you should be grieved. Grieved at your sin. It should cause you to be grieved. There's a saying that the closer you get to God, the more dirty and sinful you feel. Because you realize how holy He is and how sinful you are. And that's not to cause any shame. That's not to cause condemnation. That's not from Jesus. All that's supposed to do is just drive you to want to be more like Jesus. To be more pure, to be more holy, to be more righteous. And not in a way of arrogance or conceit, but in humility. And God, I want to be near You. I love You. We should be driven by love, not by fear, not by shame, not by guilt. By love. That is the answer. That is the way to Jesus, is the love. I'm so tired of sin being glorified and then people saying that, well, God's boring, He won't let us have any fun. How is it fun to be separated from God? Is your sin actually satisfying? I've been there, guys. I've done it. I was, oh man, I was reading one of my, in my reflection day, I was reading one of my entries or watching a video of me talking about it or something. And one day I was invited to a club by one of the girls in my acting circles, and I thought she was cool. Like, I wanted to be her friend. You know, she just seemed cool, and I wanted to be her friend from the day I met her, but I wasn't cool enough to be her friend in my mind. And she reached out to me and asked me if I wanted to come to her party, and she was having a birthday party, and it was at this club, and I put on this outfit that I never would have wore out of the house in my life. And I drove downtown, and I got to the club, and there were all these guys looking at me and making me really uncomfortable. And the vibe of the city was just dark. I don't like downtown at night. It's not very pleasant. And I walk into the club, and she's not there. And they say that she's not there yet, and that I can wait for her. And so anyways, I walk outside, and I'm trying not to cry. And I'm just looking around at the city, and I've got my jacket just trying to, like, cover up my body from what I'm wearing. And I text her and ask her where she's at and what's going on, and, you know, I'm here, and she's like, oh, I've got about an hour, like, I'll be there soon, love. And I'm like, I'm gonna go home and be with my kids. I want to go to bed. I don't want to be here. And I think ultimately, guys, yeah, I was lukewarm, but Jesus was just tugging on my heart. He just wanted me to come home. And that was the year that everything happened, I believe. I think that was in the March, and it happened in June or May, so it was getting closer, but I was so disappointed. And one of the things that I said is, if my grandpa knew where I was tonight, he would be so disappointed in me. If he saw me with what I was wearing, he would be so disappointed. And then I realized, if my grandpa would be disappointed, how much more disappointed would my God be? Dad, how disappointed is Dad with me right now? And it broke my heart as I looked back at it, and I just felt so disgusted. And I was like, Lord, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry for who I used to be. I'm so sorry for the girl that I tried to create that was not who you created me to be. I'm sorry for trying to be like the world so that I could be cool enough and fit in and feel seen when you thought I was way cooler than those people ever would think. And you saw me and you loved me and you died for me so that we could be reunited, so we could be together again. And that changed things, you know? Like, obviously, I didn't think about it then. Unfortunately, I just had the, you know, the yuckiness and the... I was in a really bad place. Like, that was with the married guy, and I had my heart broken about some misunderstanding, and I was looking around at, you know, dating different guys, and just not a good time. But looking back, I'm just amazed at his love. He really is just everything. Everything we could ever need. And I'm learning that more and more as I'm living in this time where I've lost people. And, you know, I just have my safe group of people that I can stick around and feel seen and loved by. But when they're not around, and I'm reminded of the people who've left, who've turned, who've decided that I'm just too Jesus-y for them, I sit with the Lord, and it feels different. It feels sweet. It feels serene. It feels so peaceful. Just like just right now, just thinking about it, just reflecting on it. Because I don't want this world. I don't want anything in this world. Guys, I don't even want to be famous anymore. I don't care about acting. Like, you want to book me in some God-honoring thing? Let's do it. Like, I want to do it for Jesus, but I'm not worried about Hollywood anymore. I'm not worried about Atlanta. I'm not worried about the biggest roles. I'm not worried about having a name. When I was a kid and I decided to be an actor, I was like 14 and I had just had recently given my life to the Lord. And I said, I want to be a light in the darkness. But I lost sight of that because my flesh was fighting with me when I was so lukewarm and just tossed to and fro and left and right. I'm like, yeah, I want to do it for God, but I'll wear that sheer top. Who needs a bra? What? Does he? Guys, I don't like who I was. And I'm sorry, I want to apologize to anybody who saw the images of that past life. I wish that I could have kept that. You know, that was for my husband. And it was a disgrace to share with the world. But you know what? God redeems our stories. Our sin is forgiven and we're made clean. And I'm so thankful that I don't have to be reminded of my past. Unless I purposefully go searching for it like I did that day. But I did for a reason. It was something the Lord led me to do. But no, I don't care. I just don't care. Jesus is coming back. He's going to resurrect his people. And the people who don't accept him are going to be stuck here. And it's going to be really bad, and nobody's going to want to be here. That's what matters to me. That's why I'm doing this. That's why I'm biting the bullet and getting up here and talking to you about something that I have no idea what I'm going to talk about. And risking the judgment that I know I'm going to receive. Because the judgment that I receive from you cannot compare to the judgment that you will receive from him. And I know that sounds bad because, like, why would a good God judge? He's going to judge those who are not for him. And it's not judge as in, like, hey, you're a bad person. Judge as in make right. Justice. Evil will not be able to go. He's going to separate the evil from the good permanently. That's what I mean by judge. Not the kind of judgment you guys are talking about. There are so many people out here that are acting like Christians are the most judgmental people in the world. And I will absolutely say there are people in the world who are labeled as Christians who do not have the heart of Christ. Yes, they exist. Not saying that everybody out there does or doesn't. But when people are loving you, speaking the truth, praying for you even, they're not judging you. They're loving you. They're loving you so hard that it hurts. Because they know the risk. We all know the risk. We on this side know the risk of loving you. Because it's going to come across wrong. And you don't want it. I'm just grateful that no matter what labels I receive, no matter what people think of me, how they view me, Jesus is delighted. And if you're out there and you're doing what I'm doing, Jesus is delighted in you. Who cares what they say? At the end, we know what we gotta do. Every disciple, practically, I think every disciple, right? I'm pretty sure every disciple lost their life for Jesus' sake, for his name. So I know I'm a broken record and I talk about surrender a lot. I talk about salvation and Jesus and the end and the truth. I know it can get annoying, I'm sure. But do you know? Do you know how amazing your life could be if you just did it? If you just gave it a shot, if you just gave Jesus a chance? What he could do with your life, you can't even compare. You can't even imagine. I've seen it. I've seen it happen to people around me. It's not just my life. Stop doing it the hard way. Stop making it about you. Stop making it about them. Make it about Jesus. Make it about the one that matters. The one that holds your heart in his hands, that has plans for you, that treasures you, that loves you, that wants you, that chooses you. That is what it's about. I saw something the other day, and it was saying, if Christianity was true, would you just believe it? And people were saying no, because of pride. It doesn't matter how much we try to argue the facts of the Bible and the truth and the evidence of Jesus and the Word. If you are that hell-bent, convinced, and decided that you don't want Jesus, that you don't want the freedom, you don't want Him and what He has for you, then nothing is going to be good enough for you. And I encourage you, if that's you, remember where it all started, where the fall began. Pride comes before the fall. You gotta kill that pride, my friend. You gotta slash it and murder it to death, because it's not gonna get you anywhere. Anywhere but hell. As I said in my last episode, Jesus is about humility. Knocking off your pride and believing and accepting that He is the answer to everything you're asking for. And what He says goes, because He's God and He just can. And I know that's frustrating to people that don't get it. You gotta trust and believe that God is just enough as He is, and He is trustworthy, because you know why? It's all in here. The entire Bible. The whole story of God to Jesus Christ, the whole story is just a consistent story of His grace and His mercy and His love, His redemptive power, His judgment. his sovereignty. And there is no other God out there, no other little g God that can give that. I don't know how accurate this is, but I've heard something recently that the reason nobody wanted, no, sorry, it was actually in my readings at one point in one of the stories, they wanted a God they could see. So they made their own God. When God literally parted the Red Sea in front of them and walked with them with a pillar of a cloud and a fire by night, God revealed himself to them. That because they couldn't see his face, his glory, they decided they'd build their own God. And I believe that's what we want today. We want to see God. I get it. It's hard to believe in a God you can't see. But do you believe in the air? You're living it. You're breathing in it, right? You're breathing it in. But you can't see the air. It's just there. It's the same way with God's presence. He's everywhere. He's all present. Everywhere. And you just can't see him right now. But one day, oh, you will. So I get it. Sometimes I feel like in certain seasons, it's like I'm talking to the air itself. But I know he's there. I know he's listening. I know he's present. And that's enough for me. Because faith comes by hearing the word. And everything in the word is the truth. So that's where faith comes from. And Hebrews 11... actually know this reference. Hebrews 11 verse 1, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Faith is a requirement. But it goes hand in hand. You can't see God, but he's there. That's why we have to have faith. And we're told, again, to have faith, it is by hearing the word. So you gotta get in your word. You gotta be willing to hear Jesus. And my favorite thing about this whole argument is he will reveal himself to you. It may not be his exact face, but he will show you he's real. It's not testing God by saying, God, reveal yourself to me. I want to see you. There are people that are non-believers. I hear testimonies all the time of people that are like, hey, God, I want to believe in you. Will you reveal yourself to me? I want to believe this. I want to know that you're real. He honors that. He loves that. He loves revealing himself. He loves to show you how real he is. I know that this has been a random episode, but I think I'm going to go ahead and end now because I wanted to make a shorter episode and I just wanted to go wherever the Spirit led. So I hope that you got something from today and I hope you know you're just loved and you're seen and you're wanted by the God of the universe. And as always, if you have any questions, if you want to talk about any of this, if you just need anything, prayer, questions, whatever, please don't hesitate to reach out to me. All of my social medias are Desiree K. But I love you guys. I'm so grateful for you. I'm so grateful for this platform. And even though I may not have all the listeners in the world, I started this with the hope that just one person would be impacted. So if one person is affected, then I've done my job. I'm doing something for the kingdom, and that's what matters to me. So, I love you guys, and I just hope that you go out there and stand up for Jesus and choose the right path, because the path is narrow, but it's up to you. Thank you again for your time, and I hope you have a wonderful, great, wonderful, great, why do I do this? A wonderful day or night, whatever time it is, and I'll see you next time.